Thank you all for coming on this late in the day on Wednesday. Elaine and I will be presenting what healthcare providers need to know about the vaccine adverse event reporting system, and this is just our disclaimer. And the objectives of this presentation, I'll be describing the vaccine adverse event reporting system and how to report. And then Elaine is going to be describing some recent examples of VAERS data and how it's contributed to public health. First, VAERS is a national spontaneous reporting system for adverse events after U.S. licensed vaccines. It receives about 28,000 reports per year, U.S. reports per year. Anyone can file a report. It accepts reports from anybody. It's jointly administered by the CDC and FDA. And VAERS data is available to the public, and we'll talk a little bit about that in the next few slides. The purpose of VAERS, probably one of the most important purposes, is that it rapidly detects new or unusual or rare vaccine adverse events. It also can rapidly identify vaccine lots or batches of vaccines with increased numbers or types of reported adverse events, and our colleagues at the Food and Drug Administration lead that effort. It does identify potential risk factors in vaccinees for particular types of adverse events, and it can monitor trends in known adverse events, particularly increases. And how many of you out there have filed a VAERS report or encouraged someone to file a VAERS report? Can you raise your hands? Okay, that's really great. And we'd like to thank all of you, because it's all of you out there that makes the system strong, because without you reporting or encouraging others to report, the system isn't as strong as it can be. So thank you. On this slide, I'd like to focus on some of the limitations of VAERS. And probably the biggest limitation is that generally VAERS cannot assess if a vaccine actually causes an adverse event. And this is a big misunderstanding, because a lot of people think, well, if it's been reported to VAERS, then it must mean that this vaccine has caused this adverse event. And what VAERS does is it detects signals, but we cannot confirm whether or not the vaccine caused the adverse event unless we do special studies or follow up in other data systems to look or to confirm the signal, like through the vaccine safety data link. Other types of limitations are there's sometimes reporting biases if we do not hear about an adverse event, such as an underreporting, or if we have stimulated reporting, such as through media reports, and we'll get a bunch of adverse event reports coming into VAERS. You should report any clinically significant adverse event following immunization, even if you're not certain that the vaccine caused the event. And why is that? And the reason for that is so that we can detect these new or rare or unusual adverse events following immunization. Also, the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act mandates healthcare providers to report specific adverse events that occur following immunization. And these are listed in the table of reportable events that you can get off the website here. It's also available in the immunization work CD that we'll talk about a little bit later on too. And some examples of this are anaphylaxis occurring within 7 days after any vaccination. And then there are also some on the reportable events table that are specific to vaccines, like rubella-containing vaccines, any reports of chronic arthritis within 42 days following rubella vaccination. This is the VAERS reporting form, and you can see this on the right. And really, it's just a one-page form, and there's three main parts to it. First, the demographics in the first circle. In the second circle, there's information that's requested about what the specific vaccine adverse event that occurred. And then in the third circle, what vaccinations were given around the time that that vaccine adverse event occurred. You should report as soon as possible, but there is no time limit, and VAERS will accept all reports regardless of when it happened or how late it is. You can submit a VAERS report by really two main ways, online through a secure website, it's electronic, and we really encourage this. This is a very efficient way for us to get the data quickly. The other way you can file a report is through a report form, and you complete that report form and either mail it to us or fax it back to us. VAERS data can be obtained in two different ways, too. And the first way is through the CDC wide-ranging online data for epidemiologic research, or WONDER. And it's a great interactive online search tool that you can look for VAERS, look at VAERS data yourself. The other way is to download raw data files for import into a database, and that's those databases are by year in that you can download from the VAERS website. This is a slide we just kind of wanted to highlight some of the Health and Human Services vaccine safety resources. And through the CDC, you can go to our Immunization Safety Office website. Also, through the immunization works that CD that you got, there's a file on vaccine safety resources in there. The pink book also has a chapter on vaccine safety. The vaccine information statements are updated depending on what ACIP recommends, and if we find any new findings in vaccine safety also, the vaccine information statements are updated and are wonderful to use with patients. Also, I want to point out on the slide the vaccine injury compensation program for people that you might deal with that I have concerns about compensation following a vaccine adverse event, and the contact information is there. We also wanted to point out that the general recommendations on immunization has recently been updated, and it's really been it's a great update. And this is also available on your CD and has a lot of good information on contraindications and precautions and administration. And if you have specific questions, you can call 1-800-CDC-INFO, or you can email us at nipinfo@cdc.gov. And with that, I'd like to turn the podium over to my colleague, Elaine Miller.
Good afternoon. I will be showing you four examples of how VAERS data made important contributions to public health, and we wanted to show you this data so you would understand how important your reports to VAERS are, and they really are used. The first example is regarding last year's, or 2009-2010 H1N1 public health emergency. There were several systems monitoring the safety of H1. However, VAERS provided the first national data during this response. The first 2 months' worth of data was published just 3 months after the start of the program. And the safety profile of the H1N1 vaccine was found to be similar to the seasonal influenza vaccine, so this was reassuring. The second example is regarding the Tdap, tetanus, diphtheria, and pertussis vaccine. Tdap was licensed in 2005, but it is not licensed for people ages 65 and older. However, we do have data to show that people 65 and older do get pertussis, and they also transmit it. In California, you're probably aware of the pertussis outbreak that happened in 2010. And the state of California decided to recommend the Tdap vaccine for people over 65, even though it is not licensed for this age group. The ACIP also started discussing this issue when they recognized that this was a gap in coverage, the fact that older people, the vaccine was not licensed for older people. There was some data in VAERS for the last 5 years of people who had received the Tdap vaccine who were over 65. And we reviewed this data, and we found that the safety profile in these people over 65 was similar to TD, tetanus diphtheria vaccine, which has a good safety profile. So this data was reassuring. Of course, Beth just reviewed with you the limitations of the VAERS data, so, you know, keep that in mind. The ACIP did decide to recommend the Tdap vaccine for people 65 and older. The next example concerns what's called SCID, severe combined immunodeficiency. disorder. This is a group of life-threatening genetic disorders that result in severe deficiencies in the immune system. Now, rotavirus is a live vaccine, and it's the only vaccine, live vaccine, recommended for children under the age of one. And in looking at VAERS and some case reports, there were examples of patients who had SCID and had received a rotavirus vaccine and became ill with rotavirus, which is severe gastroenteritis and viral shedding. And a decision was made that SCID would become a contraindication to rotavirus vaccine. So VAERS contributed to this recommendation. And the package insert and the vaccine information statement and the ACIP updated their publications to indicate that rotavirus vaccine was contraindicated in SCID patients. Additionally, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services approved adding SCID to the uniform screening panel for all newborns. This is done on a state by the screening is done on a state by state basis. Some states are already testing, and others are going to add this testing for SCID. The last example that we'll discuss relates to febrile seizures after Fluzone vaccine in this current flu season. You're probably aware that in the Southern Hemisphere, the CSL vaccine, influenza vaccine, was found to be associated with an increased risk of febrile seizures in young children. Because of this, the ACIP recommended that the CSL vaccine not be given to children under 9 years of age in this current flu season in the United States. Because of this product association, VAERS and other systems had enhanced surveillance for monitoring for febrile seizures after Fluzone, which is the only product that was used in children under two. And VAERS did, in fact, detect an increase in febrile seizure reports after this year's Fluzone in children 6 to 23 months. And this indicated that further studies were needed. It's important to stress that these febrile seizures were typical febrile seizures. All the children did recover. But further studies were done by the Vaccine Safety Data Link, and their findings were, the preliminary findings listed on this slide indicate that there seemed to be interaction between the Fluzone vaccine and the PCV13. When given together, there was a statistically significant increased risk in children 12 to 23 months old when the vaccines were given together. This risk is temporary. It lasts the day of vaccination and one day afterwards. And when the vaccines were given, you know, not together, in other words, separately at different times, this risk was not apparent. So recommendations for this year's flu vaccine in children did not change as a result of these findings, but this is being discussed in ACIP for future flu seasons. The information on these findings was posted on the FDA website and the VAERS website in January when the information became available. And if you want further information, they're on the link here. So in summary, this slide shows four recent findings in VAERS that contributed to public health. Thank you.